Sunday mornings, we have been reading through the Gospel of Luke for the most part, but through the lens of the parable of the sower. And there's a great deal that that we can benefit from that. And so today we're going to continue to do just that. We're going to talk about how our King, our Lord Jesus, leads us always. If you've sworn your allegiance to him as King, you just can know that on every day and throughout every day, he would like to lead you. And if you want to know what the Spirit is doing, he is moving you. He is moving, changing your heart to move you to actually move forward, following your King. So I'm summarizing things by saying this. There is one God, and he knows you by name. Matter of fact, he calls you by name. He calls you into his kingdom. He calls you to step forward as he places you on life stage. He intentionally places you on display in the world. For some of you, that may be thrilling. You know, when I was a child, when I was in high school, my goal in life was to go through days without being seen. I had no desire to step on front of any stage anywhere. I remember a family friend telling me, her name was Sue Foster, actually a woman who has played a big role in my life. She said, you know, Loy, that shyness, that's not going to benefit you in the kingdom. You're going to have to get past that if you're going to step up and represent your King. I thought she was crazy. I was very comfortable in my shyness. It was just who I was. It was, if it could be a gift, I was convinced I had such a gift. But as I've studied the scriptures, it's true. There is one God. He knows you by name. He calls you into his kingdom, and he places you on display in the world. His intention is this. He wants to draw attention to you, people to see you as you glorify him. That's just what he's doing in your life. In one way or another, in a variety of ways you may say it, and in many ways you do it, again and again, he intends for you to be pointing to Lord Jesus as the King, the rightful ruler over all creation, and inviting not only yourself, but others to turn from their self-ruled life and to believe that good news. This is God's plan for your life. In Luke 8, it talks about that in the terms of a sower sowing his seed. He says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those on the rocks are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in times of testing, they fall away. And so today, as we're thinking about this in terms of being on display, what we're saying is this, that in times of testing, we fail to do what we've been placed here to do. We fail to point to Jesus as our King. We fail in our behavior or in our words. We fail to acknowledge that he is the King. That's what it means that we fall away. He says the seed that fell amongst the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. And so once again, it's the same idea that in their behavior, in their words, they fail to point to Jesus as their King. But the seed on good soil, it stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and persevering, they produce a crop. Once again, in their words and in their behavior, what is this fruit that God is looking for? He is looking for us to act and live out our lives and have that drive, the words that comes out of our mouths, the fact that we have sworn our allegiance to Jesus as the King. And now everything that comes out of my mouth has to fall within the boundaries of what he says about what is good and right and true for my words. All of my behavior needs to fall within the boundaries of what he says is good and right and true for my behavior. God has placed you on display. Jesus is pointing to that. Right after this parable, he says, no one places you on display only to hide it under a bushel or in a jar. He says, no one lights a lamp just to turn around and take that lamp and put something over it. No, actually, you put a lamp up in the height of the room so that everybody who enters the room that they can see. God has placed you on display, and he intends for your life to be just like that, so that as you live out your life, your behavior, and everything that comes out of your mouth, you are again and again pointing to the fact that Jesus is the rightful risen ruler over all creation, definitely over your life, but he places that claim on every other life as well. Jesus continues, He says there is nothing hidden that won't be disclosed. One of the things that's just true about the light is it exposes who we are. For better and for worse, it exposes who we are. There's nothing that is concealed that will not be brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. You want to be somebody who listens in a way that actually produces the fruit that God intends. If you will, you'll be somebody who the word of God is sown in their life again and again, and it produces lots of fruit. If you won't, that plant that is your real life, it atrophies and dies. So, my point, God has placed you on display. I need you just to settle into that. You are being watched. He intends for you to be fruitful. That's one of the ways he described it. He intends for you to be shiny. That's another one of the metaphors he uses. He intends for you to be salty. All of these metaphors are the same thing as you are on display and the world is looking at you. And in one way or another, and in every way and every other way, you continue to point to the fact that Jesus is the King. He's the Messiah. If you don't understand that, then you're like a songwriter who never writes a song. What good is that? You are like, you're like a vocalist that never learns the melody, so you have nothing to sing. You're like a carpenter who never builds a cabinet. You're like a fireman that never puts out a fire. I mean, you have to realize that that is why you are here, to be fruitful, to be shiny, to be salty. Jesus, echoing this idea about salty, says salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salt again? It doesn't make any sense for you to be salt and not be salty. This is why you are here. And I don't know that this passage says that if you're not salty, he's just going to throw you away. I don't know that that's what that means. But I do know that he's pointing the oddity of how can you make sense of being salt yourself and not being salty in the world? That should never make sense because you are here to be salty. Whoever hears has ears to hear. Jesus says, listen to this. Let this word be planted in your life and grow. Let it be your life. Jesus tells them this. He says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Go. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. I am placing your life on display. Go. I'm doing that. Your life right now is on display. He sent you into the world. Today, I want to focus not on the fact that your life is on display, but it's what's being alluded to in the second half of this verse, like lambs among wolves. Your life is on display not just in your strengths, but it's also in your weaknesses as well. God has placed you, and you always have a glorifying God option. When you are strong, you have that option. When you are weak, you have that option. When you are succeeding, you have that option. When you are failing, you have that option. Always. There is no day that you ever enter where you really don't have the option of, I just can't glorify God today. That's just not going to be possible. There is no day of your life like that. This is always an option. And it is especially true in your brokenness and in your weakness. I know that doesn't make sense, but it is especially true then. Here is the thing. When you are broken and when you are weak, people are paying attention to you. They are. They're watching what you do next. Watch yourself the next time you fail at something. Imagine that. You failed. What you do next, and people are watching you when you fail. Are you going to respond to failure the same way everybody else in the world does? Denying, rationalizing, pointing the finger at somebody else when you've legitimately failed? The Bible gives us many examples of God intentionally placing his people on display, both in their strengths and in their weakness. The story of Job is this story. One day, God appears and the angels appear before him, and along with them, Satan. And God says, have you considered my servant Job? God is placing his servant on display. God says this, there is no one who is like him, who is upright and fears me and keeps my commands. There's nobody on the earth like that. And Satan says, Of course not. Look at him. Everything he touches succeeds. He's got flocks and herds that are just, you know, coming out of his ears. If you would remove all of his success around him, well, you wouldn't say that there was no one like him upright who fears you and keeps your commands. One of the things that makes the book of Job so pointed is that we see him not in his strength, but the book of Job is entirely during the time of his weakness. He loses his family. He has a wife, but doesn't necessarily advise him very well. She's not a source of strength. He loses his health. He is miserable. And God, again and again, is pointing our eyes to him and says, have you considered my servant Job? His wife encourages him just to curse God and die. It's over. Clearly, God is done with you. You should be done with God. And Job says this, even in my weakness, even in my brokenness, I am still going to praise God. Everybody's eyes were on him. Matter of fact, he has a series of friends. They're looking at him. They have their own solutions, and they're all off track. But people are looking at him, and they are looking at you. The same thing is going on in the beginning of the Gospels. You have thieves and prostitutes who respond to John the Baptist's message, repent and enter the kingdom of God. And you see people who you would think have no godly opportunity to glorify God, no real opportunity there. And yet, that act of repentance is exactly what that is. That's saying to the world around us, I was wrong and God is right. I was wrong and God is right. Zacchaeus is a beautiful story. Somebody who was off track. He was a betrayer of his nation. He was a thief. And yet he encounters the Lord. And the option is this. He steps up and he says, If I have stolen from anybody, I'm going to pay them back four times what I've stolen. And I'm going to turn around and give half I own to the poor. The option is always there to glorify your king with your behavior and with your speech. Your enemy will tell you that given life's cares, riches, and pleasures, God really is not worth glorifying in this motion, or really you don't qualify to be somebody who points to your king with your words and your behavior. He will say, God hasn't been that good to you. Look at this. The things that God really hasn't been that good. And he's withholding some good things from you. Matter of fact, he's even responsible for the pain you're feeling right now. God could have stopped this thing before it ever happened. And yet, in those moments, he who is in you, if you have sworn your allegiance to Jesus as King, then the Spirit that is now within you, he is there to move you to keep God's commands. Even in your weakness, he is there to move you to stand, so to speak, and point toward your King. This is true in your strength when you're serving him. This is true, like in Job, when everything is going well and you make a covenant with your eyes, Job says, and I'm not going to lust against some other young gals around me. I'm not going to do that. In your strength, when things are going well. And it's also true in your weaknesses when you're serving him. The Apostle Paul insists that when he is weak, he is strong. And as oxymoronic as that sound, what he's just saying is that when I have nothing to offer, I am absolutely relying on my king. And everybody is watching him, and they know he has nothing to offer. They know his tank is empty. Everybody's eyes are on you when you are weak, and they want to see who you are. So in your strengths and in your weakness, God has placed you on life stage, and he intends for the world to watch you as you honor him. That's just what's going on. I know a man who was in a devastating motorcycle accident. And as he is laying on the asphalt, his pelvis is just swelling with blood because he's ruptured, you know, arteries in his body, and it's filling up in his pelvic cavity. And people are standing around just looking at his horrible, broken, disfigured, bleeding, dying body. And in that moment, he asked the question, is there anyone here who will pray for me? Is there anyone? And most people didn't know what to do. They're just horrified at seeing such a broken, you know, body on the asphalt. But one guy said, yeah, I'll pray for you. In your weakness, even. I gotta think that whoever stood around and watched him dying there on the pavement and hearing him say that, hearing him point to his king, that's why God had him there that day. There's other kinds of weaknesses as well. It's not just physical weakness. There's also incredible moral weakness. I know another man and a woman who, after 30 years of marriage, it comes to light that their marriage has completely fallen apart. Everybody who lived in the house knew that there were probably many hard, angry words spoken over the years, but on the outside, people didn't know that. Perhaps those in the house knew that there were times of neglect and not being faithful. All of that comes to life now. I know this couple. And everybody's eyes are now on this couple. And this is their opportunity, even in their weakness, to say, look, I was wrong. Jesus is right, and he's my king. And now I am turning from my unfaithfulness. I'm turning from my lies. I'm turning from my neglect. And I'm going to follow my king. You are never without a viable, glorious option to glorify your king. Even when your body is broken and you're dying on the asphalt, even when you have fallen into terrible moral failings, you always have an option to point to your king. And God says, you know, I have lit you like a lamp, and I intend for people to look at you, and when they do, what better come out of your mouth is this: Jesus is my king. And I'm showing you that now by my behavior, whether it's in my obedience as I set about my days or whether it's in my repentance from my rebellion. Jesus is my king. And I'm honoring him. Jesus said this. He says that there are going to be times when you, my people, are going to appear in absolute weakness. Physical weakness, relational weakness. There'll be times when people will lay hands on you and persecute you. They will deliver you to the synagogue and prison, and you will be brought before kings and governors, all on account of my name. That's weakness. When you don't get to control your day, when you're arrested, when you are betrayed, and now you're standing before the most powerful people in the land, and you're on trial. This will result, though, he says, in you being my light. This will result in you being salty. This will result in you being shiny for me, fruitful. You'll be my witnesses to them. And I don't want you to worry a bit about what you're going to say in that moment. I'll guide you. My spirit will guide you. And I will give you words of wisdom that none of your adversaries will ever be able to contradict. It'll be a time of weakness, he says. Relational weakness. You'll be betrayed by friends, even by parents, brothers, relatives, and friends. And they will put some of you to death. Talk about weakness. You won't even be able to defend yourself to keep your life alive. And yet, God has placed you on display in the moment for you to point to Jesus as your king, both by what you do and by what you say. Jesus says, all men will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. By standing firm, you will gain life. I've placed you there. Stand. What will you say? What will you do when you take life stage? When you leave here today, you're going to take life stage. When you show up at work tomorrow morning, you're going to take life stage. What are you going to say? God has intentionally, he intentionally directs people to see your life. In one way or another, this is what we all need to say. Because Jesus is the risen king, I am obeying him today in what I'm doing. If you want to know why I'm doing what I'm doing, The way I'm conducting myself as a husband, as a father, as a friend, as a fireman, as a paramedic, as whatever the role I'm playing, I am doing my best to obey my king in that capacity. And when I am off track, I'm going to honor that. I'm going to own that as well. Why am I saying and doing what I'm doing? Because now I'm repenting. I am turning from my rebellion against my king. And you too. Because Jesus is the rightful king over all creation, not just me, but you too. You must repent and believe the good news. God has placed your life on display. Let's pray together. Holy Father, you intend to shine through us. Lord Jesus, you are guiding us. And Holy Spirit, you are working within our hearts even now to move us to keep his commands. Give us words to say that point to Jesus as our King. Strengthen our behavior to acknowledge his rule over our lives. And give us the courage when we fail, when we sin, to turn, to point to you as our King and say, I'm moving forward following my King. We pray this in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.